What is up, you guys? Welcome back to this week's episode. Today, we've got episode 25. It's just going to be Nathan and I. I don't know if you guys remember, but episodes that end in 5 and 0 are just going to be the two of us. So we're super excited. The topic that we've got today is something that we feel like a lot of people struggle with, us included. And that's why we kind of felt inspired to talk about it. Nathan kind of came to me and said, like, I think we should use this for our next episode. And as we've been thinking about it, we've seen in our lives so many times that this topic has been something we need to work on. So the topic of today's episode is emotions and how we as couples sometimes fight with emotions, and sometimes we get really emotional and say things we don't mean or do things. Anyway, so we're going to elaborate on that a little bit, but yeah.
I mean, it just, Allie and I, like, the more we think about it, the more we realize we do it all the time, where you just get emotional, you get triggered, you start saying things you don't actually mean, or things can get spiral out of control. And so we kind of want to just bring some awareness to this topic and this idea of, like, being aware of your emotions when you're communicating with each other, and, like, also just having more empathy for one another and just, like, putting yourself in their shoes, seeing where they're coming from, trying to see them as a person, and just how that's going to influence and impact your communication, make sure you're just so much happier and communicating at such a higher level.
Right. For those of you who haven't listened, episode 11 is a really great episode with Wendy. She was the therapist that we met with before we got married. If you haven't listened to that, go back and listen. It's a really great episode. But she does talk briefly about this idea of how she basically says there's this rule that you should never get into an agreement or a disagreement or a discussion or an argument when either of you are feeling hungry or tired, which is so true. And we've seen that, you know, sometimes when you're super hungry and then your spouse is wanting to talk about something and you might say things that you don't mean, right? We've all been there. But we just wanted to add to that list, not getting into an argument or a discussion about anything when you're already pretty agitated or emotional about something else, because that'll bring those negative emotions.
If you're feeling stressed or sad, or you're already feeling a little bit angry about something totally unrelated, or you're feeling worried, or all these different negative, potentially, I guess you could describe them as negative. They're not necessarily inherently negative, but these emotions that might cause you to not be in the right mindset to have, like, a deeper discussion or like an important discussion with your spouse. So we just want to bring, like I said, bring some awareness to this topic. We're kind of breaking it down into two parts. So we're going to talk about, like, part number one is, like, what to do when you are feeling emotional. So, like, if you start to be aware and realize, okay, I'm actually feeling pretty angry right now, what do I do? Or I'm actually really stressed about this situation. Like, how can I communicate this effectively and not just get into, like, have a big disaster, have, like, a really big fight or something? Then we're also going to talk about number two. Part number two is, what do I do when my spouse or my partner, my boyfriend, girlfriend, whoever is starting to feel emotional? Like, they're starting to get a little bit heated, or they're kind of just coming at you from a weird place, like out of nowhere. They just start ripping into you or whatever. Something crazy happens that's just not characteristic of them. And so, like, how do you best respond in that situation and kind of be loving about that?
Right. And I will say, if you haven't experienced this yet, you will. Like, it's one of those things that, like, I didn't realize I was doing it. And so there were a lot of times where Nathan and I would have something that we disagree on, and we would talk about it and we figured out really quick and it was all good. And then other times, maybe just an equally important issue or unimportant issue, we would just have this huge argument about. And we'd be so mad, and we wouldn't talk to each other for, like, a few hours. And it was, like, pretty intense. Yeah. And looking back, now that I understand this principle, I'd realized, oh, you know what? I was just really emotional. Yeah. I was really tired, or I was really angry about something else, and I took it out on him.
Exactly.
So anyway, if you haven't experienced this yet, listen today and then try to focus on, and, like, going forward, pay attention in your relationships and see when this does happen. And it's, I promise you, it'll help you a lot.
For sure. Like, just for an example, like, if, like, say, for example, Allie and I are really stressed about Rosie, our baby. She's been crying all day and she's super stressed, and it's causing both of us to be a little bit high strung. And then we start trying to communicate about something, we might get a little bit chippy with each other. And then those situations can quickly escalate into, like, further and further. They can get worse and worse and worse. But if you're able to kind of catch it while it's still, like, young, it's not as like entrenched, then you can fix it and you can avoid having these big arguments about really nothing. You're just in an emotional, frustrated state and you kind of take it out on each other.
Right. Like, so we start arguing and we say, like, things that we don't mean or whatever. Yeah. And then we take a step back. One of us says, you know what? I think we're both pretty stressed out because Rosie had a really hard day today.
Right.
Or fill in the blank, whatever your stressor might be. And then you might say, okay, let's just take a second.
Right.
Let's regroup in 15 minutes when we've calmed down before we talk about this. Exactly. And then 15 minutes go by and you're like, you know what? There's not even really anything to talk about. We were just stressed, right? So anyway, so that's something to help you conceptualize this idea that we're talking about.
The
Welcome to the Marriage Prep Podcast. I'm Nathan Hooper.
And I'm Allie Hooper. In this podcast, we will give you all the resources that you need to go from dating or engaged to creating a lasting marriage that will bring you more happiness than you ever thought possible.
Here, we're going to interview experts and discuss important topics like how to know if your partner is right for you. We will provide you guys a list of questions and conversations that you need to be having to make sure you're both ready for marriage and on the same page.
We will even dive deep into topics like sexual intimacy, finances, how to have a fair fight, and a whole lot more to make sure you can step up to that altar with complete confidence.
So subscribe now and make sure you guys don't miss any episodes, and we'll see you in there.
So first, to kind of kick it off, we're going to talk about what to do when you start to notice that you are feeling just triggered or stressed, or you're starting to have some of these negative emotions or whatever. And the first thing is start to develop some self-awareness about your emotions, which can be kind of tough to do depending on, like, especially for guys, it might be like, you might not be used to like calling out your emotions or like saying how you're feeling.
Yeah. So I think it does require self-awareness and that's not something that we all like naturally have. I think even just listening to this episode is a good first step because you're going to be thinking about, do I do this? And then next time you're feeling really emotional, you'll be like, wait, I'm like feeling like angry or emotional about something that's not related to this topic.
You guys will be surprised because if you start thinking about this, you'll notice you do it with like all of your communication, like even like with like someone at the store, like you'll just be
thinking that.
Yeah. Like you'll notice it in all your communication with your parents, roommates, whoever. You'll start to notice like, oh, if I'm in this bad state of mind, if I'm hungry, if I'm tired, I'm stressed out, like I'm just not a pleasant person to be around and to like communicate with. And so just like being able to kind of call that out. And so we thought about some ways you can kind of develop that self-awareness with your emotions. I think, you know, just constantly throughout the day asking yourself, like, how am I feeling right now? How am I doing? Like, what's on my mind? How am I feeling? If you're feeling worried, like, why am I feeling worried? And then try to find like the root cause of that and just really start like having these little personal interviews with yourself and your emotions and figure out like what's, just to help you identify like, okay, this is what my sadness feels like or whatever, just to kind of have an idea.
Well, yeah. And like an easy example of doing that would be if, let's say the emotion is, it's not really an emotion, but hunger, right? You're like, I don't think we realize how big of an impact hunger has on us. And so let's say you just like haven't eaten all day and you're really hungry. I know I get super crabby. You can ask Nathan, like, I'm just like not fun
always,
to be around.
Allie's always a delight.
Thanks. But sometimes I do. I get really like hangry and it causes me to be really, really stressed because I have this like this physical hunger. And maybe maybe it's not hunger for you. Maybe it's like anxiety about something. Maybe you have a test coming up and you're really stressed about it. But in my situation, let's just say I'm really, really hungry. And Nathan comes in and he says, hey, I think we should just like have a conversation about, I don't know, fill in the blank. Maybe like, let's have a conversation. I feel like maybe we've been spending more money than we should or something. You know, he comes to me about something that I'm like, oh my gosh, like, and then I'm already hungry and I'm already stressed. And then I just react. I'm like, what, you think I've been spending too much money? Are you kidding me? Like I'm, blah, blah, blah. And I just like kind of go off. Right. But if instead I was able to catch myself and say, you know what? I'm pretty hungry. Nathan, give me 1 second. I got to eat before we talk about this because I feel like I'm kind of like stressed out about like not having any food in my body and it's caused me a lot of stress. Let me fix this problem. Let me eat something and then let's talk about it.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden I've calmed down. And so maybe if it's not hunger, maybe like the things that Nathan was talking about earlier, maybe you're experiencing some anxiety about something. Maybe let's say you've got a big test coming up and you're really worried about it and you're stressed about it. You say, you know what? I'm really sorry. I'd love to talk about this. Can I have like 2 hours? I need to go study and take this test. And then let's talk about this. I just have a lot on my plate and I don't want it to come and seep into this conversation because I don't think that'd be fair to you.
Yeah, exactly.
Or fill in the blank, whatever it is that you're experiencing, trying to get to that root cause, fixing it, and then having the conversation, you'll be shocked at how much easier those air quotes tough conversations can be.
Right. Yeah. So it starts with the awareness, being able to identify your emotions and understand how you're feeling and, you know, when and when not to have, you know, these other conversations or whatever. Some other great ways, like meditation is great. You can go on YouTube and you can look up some guided meditation. Just look up like meditation for awareness or for self-awareness or whatever, and you're able to find some great ones to practice. Also, there's like meditation podcasts or different ways to kind of help you become more self-aware of how you're feeling and how you're doing.
Right. Because sometimes it's not as easy as like, I just got to take my test and then I'm better. Right. Exactly. Sometimes you do feel that anxiety and you do need something bigger like meditation.
So that those things can help. Journaling is a big one, just to kind of write down your feelings, your thoughts, your emotions during the day. Like that's a huge thing to help you kind of call out the way you're feeling. So those are some of the biggest, the ones that at least I've done that have helped me.
Yeah. And I would just add to that. Sometimes it's just time, right? Yeah. So sometimes And I think, you know, we'll probably readdress this a few times in the episode, but there have been instances where Nathan and I are just both feeling pretty emotional about whatever, or maybe not even emotional, but like stressed mm-hmm. or just kind of on edge about something or even nothing. And we just don't know why, but we're just feeling, we've all been there. We're just feeling a little extra that day.
Yeah.
And we start maybe an argument about nothing, about where to eat or whatever. Yeah, and it just like triggers us, both of us. Sometimes just recognizing, well, you know what? I'm feeling some emotions. Let's just take 10 minutes and like not talk to each other and try to calm down and then revisit it in 10 minutes. Sometimes it's awkward. I remember when we were first married, like, I feel like if we would have tried to do that, I would be so anxious that whole time. Like, oh my gosh, what did I do? Why is he mad? But instead, if you can genuinely just take 10 minutes and just try to calm down and, mm-hmm. you know, maybe you are doing some meditation along the way, or you're just doing a breathing exercise, or you're just sitting there and giving yourself 10 minutes, you'll feel yourself start to calm down. And then you can revisit the issue that you wanted to talk about and it'll be a lot quicker of a resolution in my experience.
Totally. So. Well, that's huge. Allie and I actually had an experience a couple weeks ago. We were just driving and I think Rosie was probably crying. A little fussy. And I think we were just getting a little chippy with each other and stuff. And I just remember telling Allie, hey, I think we're both just feeling pretty emotional right now. Let's just take a little bit of a break. And we just like listened to some music. We didn't talk. And like, I think after the car ride, we didn't even know what we were arguing about. You know,
yeah,
it was just like,
sorry. Well, I don't know why I was so mad, but
yeah, it just,
love you.
Like, a lot of times, yeah, you just need that space. So like, if you start to notice that, like, hey, I've been working on my awareness. I notice I'm feeling this way. And you're starting to, you know, might get a little chippy or whatever. Just taking some time is a great way to kind of recuperate, to re-energize and be able to go back into this conversation with like a fresh mindset.
Right.
And I think one thing I think is really important too, is that you're not like, if Allie comes to me and she wants to have like a really personal conversation, she's like, hey, I've been struggling with this or whatever. And I'm not really in a place to have that conversation. I think I need to set expectations with her. Like, hey, I'm not there right now. I want to have this conversation with you. Just give me a few minutes to kind of get to that place where we can have this conversation and then make sure you get back to it. Because you don't want to be that person who's always pushing away those conversations or whatever.
Like, I don't want to talk about it.
Or stonewalling or whatever.
Yeah. You're like genuinely saying like, this is important to me. And because it's important to me, I want to be in the right headspace for that. Right?
Exactly.
Yeah. I think that's so true. And I think I was just thinking, I feel like a lot of times in our past, when we haven't practiced this exercise of like, give me 10 minutes, we've had these like long, exhausting fights about nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And we like, I can think of like a handful of times where I was so stressed and I'm like, I don't know what we're going to do, but I also don't really remember what we're fighting about.
Yeah.
Like,
we're
just like fighting. And it's not like we're like yelling at each other, but we're just both like so angry and like ends in like silent treatment. And we're like, don't talk to me. I'm so mad. And then we do like inevitably give ourselves some space. And then we're like, wait, I really don't remember what we were fighting about. Like, geez, like this is crazy. Why are we doing this? And a lot of times it's just a basic fundamental emotion that you're feeling that just needs a few minutes to calm down. It's probably stress or hunger or tiredness or whatever. So do your best to resolve that issue or give yourself some space or some time. And it probably isn't as big of an issue than as you think it is.
I think Wendy talked about it in that episode, Allie talked about episode 11, where she said like, it's not good advice to not go to bed angry. Like sometimes like you just, and people are going to say that like, oh, never go to bed angry, or make sure you're always working through all your discussions. Make sure you have a resolution. You come to a solution. I know I've had that idea as well. Like, hey, if something comes up, we need to find a solution. We need to like both feel satisfied about this thing. Let's just keep working through it. But sometimes if you're just like not genuinely in a place where you can keep working through it, or you are just frustrated, you just need some space, like communicate that, take a break, go do something relaxing, take some deep breaths, whatever it might be. And then you can come back to it a lot fresher. It's going to be way more productive. You're not going to be emotional anymore. You're not going to be getting heated or whatever. You're going to be able to actually have a good productive conversation, then come to a resolution. You don't have to hash it out right there if you're starting to feel yourself getting a little emotional about whatever.
Right. I totally agree. So that kind of wraps up part one of what to do when you're feeling emotional. And then just to move on to part two of what do you do when you recognize that your partner is responding with a lot of emotion? Because that happens. And sometimes maybe I'm just having a great day and I'm like, oh, like, how's it going? Can we talk about this really fast or whatever? Mm-hmm. And I might ask somebody about something. And then, for example, maybe Nathan responds like, oh, why would you say that? Or like something really emotional or something really rude. And you're like, whoa, what? Like, what was that about? And it's like a super like
crazy response. That does happen. Like if I'm super stressed, if I have a bunch of things on my plate, or Allie tries to be like, hey, what do you want to have for dinner? I'm just like, Allie, I can't, you know, like the examples that we're like saying, you'd be like, why would you like But what you'll notice when you're in that situation, when you are like super stressed about something, you're just going to like respond snappy. You're not going to be like loving. Mm-hmm. And so just like, it's important for you, or like if their spouse is doing that to you, to recognize, hey, there's probably something else going on, because
it's not about me.
They're not usually like this.
Right.
Their response to me was a little bit uncharacteristic. So there's probably something else that's going on that's not like.
Right. So let me paint a picture, because I think we're kind of talking in vague terms right now, and that's on us. But so let's just imagine, for example, let's say that Nathan then has been home all day with our baby and he's been watching our baby. And we're just giving examples that would happen in our life because it's easy, but put yourself in our shoes and change the example to your life. So Nathan's been home all day with the baby. She's been really fussy. He's got a lot of things that he wants to get done today. Maybe he wants to be able to go to the gym, and maybe he wants to be able to study for a class he's in or whatever. He's got this list of things that he hasn't had time to do. The baby's been crying. It's caused him a lot of stress. He hasn't had a chance to eat. There's just a lot of things that are causing him anxiety. I'm at school all day, or I'm at work all day. I'm gone. I come home and that's adding to his stress because I'm the reason that he's not able to get his things done. I come home. I say, hey, Nathan, how's it going? Oh, it's kind of messy in here. Like, why didn't you clean up? Right. Like, that's something that, like, maybe at another time you'd be like, you know what? You're right. Like, let's say that I had the baby all day and I come home and the house is a mess or something. And he's like, oh, you're right. I'm sorry. Let's clean it up together. Whatever. No big deal. But I get home and I say, hey, Nathan, well, the house is kind of messy. Can we clean it up? That you can see that, like, if I say something like that in that situation, he's got a lot of other feelings. That's going to trigger him. That's mm-hmm. going to cause him to be like, whoa, are you kidding me? You're going to say that to me right now? Right? Like, yeah. Whoa, like, don't say that. You were gone all day. Blah, da, 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 da. When in reality, maybe like, I'm not really in the wrong. I'm just like making some small comment that maybe I shouldn't have made. But, and then he just freaks out. Right. And so make it your own situation, whatever experiences you've had. But there's been times in your life where there's a lot of other background stuff going on, whether it's stress from the baby or if it's stress from school or stress from whatever. And then your partner comes in and tries to say something to you and you're like, whoa, do not say that to me right now. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm so mad. Da-da-da. Take it out on your partner. And so I think it's important that, let's say that you're me in the scenario I just described, I would need to take a step back and be like, okay, he's probably feeling things that aren't like characteristic, that he's probably feeling a lot of stress. This is not like him.
Right.
Let me give him a second.
Yeah. And that's tough. Like, that's tough. Like, if I kind of start attacking Allie, I'm like, oh my gosh, are you kidding me? Like, I've been working all day. Like, it's super easy for Allie then to respond emotionally. Like, are you kidding? You know, and that's how things can really get escalated and kind of get out of hand and get heated when you're both getting super emotional. That's why it is tough when your partner is coming at you from an emotional place for you to respond. But one of the best things you can do is to say, hey, like, if you recognize that, like, hey, this is a little bit uncharacteristic of them, just ask them a question like, hey, how are you doing? Like, are you okay? How's your day been? Do you want to talk about anything? Like, that's like, you kind of blew up at me back there. Like, is everything okay? Like, that didn't seem like it was you. And I feel like you give them the benefit of the doubt and they're gonna be like, oh yeah, I'm sorry. It's just been a super stressful day. I have a lot of things I want to get done. And like, oh, I get it. And then you can have a productive and effective conversation because you're able to de-escalate and not let your emotions and your fire build and their fire and just explode, you know?
And I will just say, like, Nathan's been doing this lately with me because I get really emotional really easily. And then I react like really intensely. And sometimes Nathan will say that exact thing that he just outlined. Like, you know what? That didn't really seem like you back there. Like, how are you doing? Are you doing okay? And honestly, like, when your heart is in the right place, when you ask those questions, for me, I'm like, oh my gosh, like, that was so nice of him. Like, he genuinely wants to hear how I'm doing. Like, okay, I was overreacting back there. Let's talk about it. And I just soften immediately. And I think that's true of most people. Like, when you're in that like emotional state, you feel like no one sees you. You feel like no one's like there and like no one's listening to you. But if someone like genuinely says like, how are you doing? I want to be here for you. Like, I want to like go through it with you. Like, whatever this is that you're facing.
Right.
It really helps and it means a lot and it helps you to like be in a better spot.
And sometimes like what your partner does might be like super like over the top, like hurtful. Like for a good example, if you guys ever watch like movies like Jojo Rabbit, if you've ever seen it, it's kind of a funny, weird movie, but there's a lot of great, great examples of this principle. So in Jojo Rabbit, I'll give you a little bit of backstory. There's this kid, he's like maybe 10 years old. He lives in Nazi Germany. So he's like, he's a diehard Nazi. Like some kids grow up loving Michael Jordan. This guy grows up loving Hitler. Okay. He is like a imaginary friend Hitler. Like it's this whole thing. But his mom is like anti-Nazis, anti-war, like she doesn't want anything to do with it. And so she actually like spreads like propaganda and stuff against the war and against Hitler even to the point where she actually hides a little Jewish girl in their house, which is in that time super illegal and stuff. And so, and Jojo Rabbit, Jojo's the kid. He ends up meeting the girl, finds her initially, like hates her, and ends up kind of building a relationship with her and stuff. But later in the movie, Jojo's, spoiler alert, by the way, so if you plan on watching this, you know,
maybe don't skip, listen to the next 10 minutes. Part.
But what happens is Jojo's mom gets caught and she gets hung and she gets killed, and it's super devastating for Jojo. And he runs home. He just grabs a knife and he goes up to the girl, the Jewish girl, and he just stabs her. Like he just like
it's like a very gentle.
It's a gentle stab. Like
he's
like,
10. Yeah, he like he's just 10. Like kind
she's
of pierces
like 16,
her skin a little bit.
Exactly. It's not like a not fatal.
And it's like
that.
There were clothes, so yeah. It's, yeah, so, it's not that bad.
Yeah, but he just goes up and like stabs her because and that's a reaction that he had at the time because he just knows, hey, my mom died.
I mean, this poor kid, he's like this little kid, and he just sees his mom hanging.
And his dad was already gone. Like his mom was all he had. His mom brought this Jewish girl into the house, which he didn't like initially. And he just didn't know what to do, and so he just went up and stabbed this girl, and afterwards he just like falls down crying. And you know, it would have been perfectly understandable for her to like respond and like beat him up or like fight him or whatever or cuss him out, whatever, yell at him, but instead she just like calmly like takes a knife out of her like chest and then goes and
literally
and then goes and like sits by him and like hugs him. You know, it's like she recognized that like there was something deeper going on. Like he wasn't attacking her out of his hate for her. He was attacking her because he had this really traumatic thing happened to his mom, someone he loved. He didn't really know how to respond. And so responded in an incorrect way, but she was able to respond lovingly, which is huge. So it takes a lot of empathy to like put yourself in that person's shoes and not like assume a bunch of things or like, you know, start thinking, start writing these stories that aren't true because you don't have all the information. So you have to kind of just really have the empathy and like that love for that person and see them as like a human being.
Right. I think that probably meant a lot to Jojo at the time. Like he was hurting so bad. And that was probably like a cry for help, right? Like not a good one, but we've all been there. Sometimes when we're just like in a really bad place, we don't know how to say, I need you right now. Like I feel whatever. He felt sad. He felt angry. He felt confused. He felt scared. I mean, just think about if your mom dies and you're 10 years old. Like that's probably the worst thing you could do.
No
right.
Dad,
like that's
no
first
mom,
worst
no,
thing you could
no
go
siblings,
through.
Yeah.
And this is a bid. I don't know if you guys are familiar with the term, but it's a bid. It's him asking for help. It's him reaching out and saying, I can't do this. I need your help.
Yeah.
Right. So sometimes I think that when we're emotional, we say or do things and it's a little bit intense, but it's just, it's a bid. It's us being like testing the waters, and we don't do it in the right way, but we're just like, we're saying something really hurtful or rude or whatever, because we're feeling that. And we hope that they'll reciprocate in the right way. And a lot of times they don't. And then it ends up in this fight.
No, for sure. And there's a lot of times, Ali has been reading this book, and I've read a similar book by the Arbinger Institute. And they talk about, like the book I read is called Leadership and Self-Deception. And they talk about how you'll put people in a box. And what that basically means is you start to see them as just an object in your life. They're just like, they're just there. And they're not actually a person. Like they're just like a backstory, and you're the main story. And it's just so important to be able to have the empathy, to be able to see them as human beings and recognize that, hey, my spouse, this person I love, is like, there's something else going on. You know, like I can see that. I can dig deeper. I don't have to respond so emotionally immediately. I can recognize them. They're not just an object that's just like living in the background of my life. They actually have their own struggles, their own trials that they're going through. And I need to be responsive to that and help them and love them and respond as lovingly as possible. And you know, that's going to make a huge difference for you guys in your conversations.
Right. Yeah. There was something Nathan said the other day that I really liked about trying to not see people in the box. And it's this activity that he does. Are you okay if I share it? So Nathan was saying that sometimes he'll be like on campus or somewhere where there's a lot of people, and he'll see all these people, and there's this exercise he does to get people out of the box. And he just sees people, and he tries to imagine like what their life was like as a kid, what kind of things they liked to do. Just like imagine, just kind of paint this picture in his head of these people, right? And he just talked about how like he feels, he kind of like feels this like love for these people that he doesn't know anything about. And like whether or not that his imaginary story is true, he sees people as people, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so if you think about like seeing random strangers, usually you're like, you don't think anything of it. But let's say you're driving and someone cuts you off, you're going to be pretty mad. But then all of a sudden, if you think about like, oh, this person could be doing any number of things. Maybe they're rushing to the hospital. Maybe they just are trying to get home because their wife needs them, or whatever. There's any number of things, of reasons why people do what they do.
Yeah.
And when you take them out of the box and you see them as a person and you think about them and have almost like a love for them that only really Christ would have.
Yeah.
Right. it's so much easier to be understanding and respond in the right way and to not be upset because you're not worrying constantly about yourself. You're not being selfish. You're not just thinking about what you need at the time.
Yeah. And it's interesting because you don't, in that situation, if someone cuts you off from the freeway, like you don't have all the facts. Like you don't know what's going on, who that person is, whatever. You're maybe your gut reaction is like that a-hole. And like, you're just writing a story about this person. But the thing is that you control that story. And so you can change it. You can say, oh, they're probably like rushing to a funeral or they're rushing to like their baby's going to be born or whatever. You can change your story. And that's just because thinking, having the story of like that a-hole is only going to negatively affect you, put you in a worse mood, make you angry. And that's going to sap your energy. But if instead you think, oh my gosh, they're probably like rushing to the hospital right now. And like, oh, their baby's going to be so cute or whatever. Like you can totally rewrite that story. Mm-hmm. And that's going to be a positive experience instead. It's going to be a loving experience instead of you like having this like, you know, like this angering thing that's going to sit with you the rest of your day. And then you're just going to be mad all day and complain about the traffic or complain, you know, just kind of has this negative aura about you. And that same thing is going to apply to your relationships with your partner, with your spouse. Like you can write the story of, if you don't know all the facts, number one, try to get them. If number two, write the story in a positive way, that's going to like be the most effective for you. That's going to help you be in the best headspace.
I think that's really interesting. And while you were talking, I thought about this idea of like writing, creating this story. I think even if your story is wrong, like let's say that person really is genuinely just like a jerk, which usually they're not, but let's say even they are, thinking that person's a jerk is going to make you mad and it's going to take up some of your finite amounts of energy that you have in the day and put you in a negative headspace. Versus let's say that person is a total jerk, but you imagine they're probably going to do something nice for someone, or they're going to the hospital to help their wife or their husband or whatever, or their friend or whatever, you're going to be like, it like causes these negative feelings to like melt away when you understand that someone else is also just a person. And you're like, oh, you know what? That's okay. Like if I was in that position, I would be doing the same thing. I would cut me off too, you know? Mm-hmm. And then you're like, better. I had someone explain like this idea as like, let's imagine you just have 100 pennies every day. And those pennies are like you can spend 100 pennies in a day. And once your pennies are out, you're out. And these pennies are like, you know, your emotional energy that you have. And so let's say you spend 40 of your pennies in the day on anger and resentment, then you only have 60 pennies left that you like, where if you had 100 pennies and you spent them all on like good things and you paid for like happiness and joy and whatever, mm-hmm. then you're going to be in a lot better mood. And so don't let somebody rob you of 40 pennies or 20 pennies or however long, because they cut you off one time, just like let it go.
Exactly.
And let those feelings be positive.
And then, imagine if you spent your 40 pennies on anger and resentment, you're going to go home to your partner or whatever, your boyfriend, your girlfriend, your husband, wife, and they're going to get this 40 penny less version of you that's just angry and like just hasn't had a great experience. Like when you get to choose to write your own story, you can be the best version of yourself when you are seeing people as people, taking them out of the box and just having empathy for everybody and, you know, imagining what it's like to be in their shoes and to like just really get into that space.
Couldn't agree more.
The last thing we want to talk about too, and something Allie talked about a couple of days ago when we were talking about this topic, was like the idea that like your initial reaction isn't always going to be perfect. Like a lot of us, like someone cuts you off, like your reaction is like, oh, you a-hole, whatever. You're just going to get mad like initially. And that's that's tough. Like that just might be a habit. It's ingrained within you. Like that might happen to you, but you are then able to kind of create some space after that initial reaction to fix like whatever.
The negative reaction. So I think we all like will inherently, we will have like a gut, like a reaction that you kind of can't control, right? It's just like, it just comes out like it's against your will almost. But that doesn't really matter as much as what you do with like how you actually respond. So I would say like there's a reaction and then there's an actual response. The reaction is like just like almost like out of your control kind of. And then the response is, okay, like take a second. How do I actually want to respond?
Yeah.
What do I actually feel, like emotions aside?
Right.
And so I think recognizing in your spouse, in your partner, if they have a big like bad reaction and then they take a second and they say, okay, sorry, that was not appropriate. Give me 10 minutes. I'll come back. Mm-hmm. I want to talk to you about this. I'm just having a bad day. You can't hold that against them if they have a bad reaction. It's just their response that you want to be worried about. And same for you, right? So we all have bad reactions and that's fine. Like we're all human. That's okay. That's just a natural thing, but it's how we respond that matters. And so we all have control to respond in the right way. and to respond in a loving way, or to respond in a way that's like, hey, like, I'm not in a good place. Give me 10 minutes, right? Giving ourselves some space and just trying to get to the root cause of the problem is really what we're going for here.
So a little example of this the other day, Allie and I were trying to actually record this podcast a couple of days ago. And Allie was like, as I was talking, Allie started just like, I looked at her and she looked like she was just texting and I was getting super distracted. I'm like, you know, we're trying to have a conversation. And so like, it kind of threw me out of my groove a little bit. So I just paused the recording. I was like, what are you doing? Why are you texting? She's like, oh, I'm sorry. Rosie was crying. So I was trying to get my mom to come down and take care of her. And like my initial reaction was like, Allie's just being like rude. And she's just like texting in the middle of this podcast. She doesn't care about what we're doing, but no, she was trying to like take care of the baby. And so like my initial reaction was bad, but afterwards like, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't have the full picture. And so it is like, these things are gonna be tough. Like it's gonna be really tough to like always have your perfect reaction. Like someone comes at you super angry and you can respond lovely. That's gonna be tough. But what you can do is true is that maybe after your reaction, give yourself some space and then fix. If you made a mistake, you're not gonna be perfect. Go back, fix it, you know, correct it, apologize, own up to your mistakes, respond lovingly, just being able to recognize that your reaction won't always be perfect. So just do what you can afterwards.
Right. Well, I hope you guys have enjoyed this episode. It was really fun for us to talk about. And honestly, I feel like after listening, you're going to see in your life just how applicable this is. Because like, honestly, I think when we first heard this, like this idea from Wendy about hunger and tired and not fighting when you're hungry or tired, we're like, oh yeah, that's true. And then when we were actually in the moment and we were actually like super heated, and then we actually tried like, okay, I'm just going to go to bed and then let's talk about this in the morning. I was shocked. I was like, wow, that really helped. You know, like that seriously works. So I just encourage you guys, like whether or not you've had any experiences yet, I would encourage you to think about this and try to apply it going forward. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be in a romantic relationship. It can be with your family. It can be with anyone, right? We all have like intense reactions to things and sometimes don't communicate as well as we could have if we were in a better place emotionally. Yeah, so absolutely. Try your best to implement the things we talked about today. I know it'll help you. Yeah. I'm excited to hear about it. If you have any cool experiences, please feel free to DM us or text us. If you know us personally, let us know. We love to hear about that.
Absolutely. And if you guys haven't subscribed, definitely feel free to subscribe. We post episodes every second Monday. So we have great episodes, you know, like talked about episodes, our first three will be interviews, episodes 4, then the 9, the end in 4 and 9. Those ones are going to be like interviews with like friends and like younger couples. Then episodes 5 and 0 are going to be episodes with just the two of us. We have a lot of great episodes coming up, guys. If you haven't subscribed, definitely subscribe. Leave a review. That helps us a ton just to let us know like what we're doing well, what we need to improve. All those things go a long way for us. We really appreciate it.
We definitely appreciate it. And we'll see you guys in 2 weeks.
Love you guys. We'll see ya.
Thanks. Bye.